Hi, this is Carmen Amaro. Hi, this is Carmen Amaro. I'm back. I apologize for the sudden drop again. Still experiencing some technical issues and a bit of memory loss. I forgot to book extra time for the show, but fortunately in the digital world, that doesn't really impact us terribly, as I know that most of our audience is still out there. And I'm going to see if I can reach our friend Tony. Tony, give me a call if you can, all right? If you're out there. I want you on for another 5 minutes before we go to yesterday's show, replay yesterday's show. Trying to see if I can reach Tony. Tony, if you're within the sound of my voice, give me a call. It is now 8:35. Tony, if you can hear me, if you're within the sound of my voice, please give me a call. We're doing this as an encore show. Hello. Okay, we're back as an encore show. Hi, this is Carmen. I'm back. We had a little bit of a technical glitch and experienced just a little bit of memory loss. I forgot to book extra time for the show. Anyway, I'm trying to see if I can get Tony Max back on the program. So for those of you who were listening to me before, this is where I'm broadcasting out of, and I'm posting it on Facebook. So bear with me just 1 second, because I'm actually talking, typing and talking and hitting buttons as I'm trying to reach you, the audience, and trying to dial Tony at the same time and posting our Facebook audience and all of our network audiences. It's just crazy. So please forgive me. I need to grow at least another set of hands. I would say maybe another. I need to four more sets of hands, and I'll be fine. I didn't know that was a criteria for doing this job when I first decided to embark on this podcasting venture. So you wouldn't want me to be. Let me put it that way. I'm talking, typing, and notifying the Facebook community that I've returned under a different link, and that's not an easy thing to do. I feel like my brain is going to go through some kind of a meltdown because I'm doing so many things at one time. So please come back to me. Those of you who were listening on Facebook and Twitter and on all of those different networks, I've reposted the link. It's an encore show. Tony Max, if you're listening and you're within the sound of my voice, give me a holler and we'll resume talk. So let me see if I can try Anthony on Facebook. if I can reach him this way, I'm telling you, we're back to normal programming. Let's see, I'm to Tony. Max, please call now at... Oh, boy. Okay. To be on air, so call me. I'm going to try and see if I can send him a text. He was happily sharing what he's doing with us before we accidentally got cut off. Let's see, Tony, call our number, 646. There's more than one way to reach somebody nowadays. There's no excuse for being completely out of touch. I've posted him on Facebook, and now I'm posting him on text. So let's see if he calls back, and I pray that he does, and then we're back in on the groove. Once you are on a program, if you don't book enough time, you do get dropped, and what will happen is they have to rebook your show immediately, within minutes, but you have to come back using a different link. So that's what happened here. I am now on a link called the Encore Show, and it's kind of like how they have it set up. Okay, so let's see if I see... Tony, I don't see your call yet. Try, give me another call. I would love it if you did. Let's see if you come through. I don't see your number yet. And Tony's number, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't seem to mind if you have it. It's 347-447-2005. There you are. All right, Tony.
Hello.
Hey, darling, how are you?
I'm alive.
You're back.
I'm back. Yes, like
you're
Arnold.
You're back. Yes, and I just sent a huge broadcast message out to our friends on Twitter and Facebook and Block Talk Radio explaining the outage. And I told them that it was partially due to some technical difficulties and memory loss on my part. So we have a few more minutes to chat. So, you know, talk to me.
Awesome. Well, I'm here with my wife, and she's a little tentative about being on the air because she doesn't like the way she sounds on the phone. But I'm gonna introduce her.
Okay.
Say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Isabel. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
You sound wonderful. Are you kidding me? You sound wonderful.
Thanks.
So I see that you are the woman behind all of the inspiration that Tony has experienced in his music writing, and I think that's lovely.
Yes, I think so too.
I was saying on the air yesterday that I had wished that he had wrote that particular song for me, Motion on Your Ocean.
Yeah,
I think. That's wonderful how many women out there can say that they're blessed enough to have a song written after them. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is something. And actually, I have a couple of songs. He actually is pretty good. He has a couple of songs for the girls as well. He wrote a song for our son. And we all have songs.
Yeah,
he might be writing
I could
songs
see
for
that.
You too.
Yeah. He stands guard at night too. I didn't know that you had somebody who had a post for you know, you keep him working at night. He actually watches you while you're sleeping.
Yes, I found him caught him a couple of times watching over me while I'm sleeping. Yes.
Yeah. I know. I think that it's a isn't it wonderful when, you know, but with me that kind of works just the opposite. I had a couple of scenarios where I was asleep and I wake up and I see this huge pair of eyes staring at me. And I sort of freaked out and screamed and jumped out of the bed. It was just really wild. But I would imagine that Tony's gaze is probably a very loving, angelic gaze. And being a poet of love and of romance and somebody who loves, you know, to write romantic music, he certainly wouldn't, you know, fright the willies out of you.
She's red right now, just so you know.
Well, you know, please let her know that it was lovely talking to her. I enjoyed it. I don't know if she's on now, but thank
you.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Your support and the opportunity that you've given Anthony and the crew. They really are trying to do something wonderful for the people, and it's a shame that it didn't happen. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but I tell him not to give up, continue, and that we're going to make it. We're going to do it. And
oh, you are. Absolutely, you are. You know, I think a lot of the people who say no to you, later on they end up kicking themselves in the back because when they realize that they didn't see the potential, then that questions how skilled they are at catching a talent and catching an opportunity that can, you know, really pay off for them. And it's a very sad thing because, you know, a free venue is not just a free venue. It's going to produce people are going to get to know that venue. You give up a free venue for a concert and you know that ultimately everyone's going to want to go to you. I mean, a lot of people started out like that.
Carmen.
Sean Puffy Combs was one.
Carmen.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce you to someone.
Okay, talk to me.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
You're on the air. Do you have anything to say about your daddy and what he's doing to help Sandy, you know, the Hurricane Sandy survivors?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Carmen. She's on the radio. She's a radio host.
Yeah, you're on the radio. People are listening to you right now. Do you have anything special to say about what your daddy's doing?
Yes.
Like what?
My daddy's trying to work to get more money.
Yeah? And?
To help
people. Who?
To help the people that the house got destroyed of the hurricane.
Really? And your daddy's been working a lot, huh? Do you see him working hard?
Yes.
Mm. Does he go to sleep early anymore?
Nuh-uh.
He gets tired
because every single morning somebody calls him to something and to a meeting or to a country club.
Really? Is that so? Tell me more. So what else does your daddy do?
he plays the guitar.
Oh, he plays the guitar. And so he's gonna use his guitar and his songs to help those people, right?
Yes. And
what do you?
I sing them. I do ballet.
You do ballet? Are you gonna dance at the benefit concert too?
Yes, and I sing the microphone.
Very good. And you talk well too.
Yes, I do.
You have a beautiful voice. You're welcome, sweetheart.
What's your name?
What's your name?
My name is Carmen. What's your name?
Isabel.
Isabel. Oh, my God. Like Queen Isabel from Spain that sent the Pinta, the Nina, and the Santa Maria to America?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, she was a very powerful lady in her time, Queen Isabel. Tell your daddy to read you a story about her sometime, okay?
My name is dedicated to God.
Amen. Amen. So you're going to be a special type of Isabel. You're going to be an Isabel that's been dedicated to God, who's going to do wonderful things for a lot of good people, just like your daddy.
I want to go to Africa to help all the people that the houses got destroyed.
And the ones that
do not have any houses.
Do you pray for them, Isabel?
Yes.
You do? And do you pray for the little children, too, just like you, who don't have a home?
Yes, I do.
And do you know? Yeah. Do you plan to give any toys to them or anything special?
Yeah.
You have a good heart. You have a very good heart, Isabel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want you to see somebody.
Okay.
She's 2 years old.
Analisa, hola.
Hola.
Hola. How are you? Huh?
She only speaks Spanish, the young one.
Oh my goodness. So you're doing it one at a time, one step, you know, first Spanish and then English?
Well, just like me, I learned English in the public school system. English is my second language.
Yeah, I did too. I learned Spanish first and then English. But I find English easier to speak, as you might already realize yourself, being Hispanic.
Yes.
So she's a beautiful little princess, and I'm so happy that she acknowledges that her daddy's doing something special.
Yeah, well, I mean, I take on these endeavors, you know, because it's just part of what I like to do. You know, as a Christian, we're called to, like Jesus said it, he said, like, if you give a cup of water to the least of these, as you have done it unto me, you know, and and aside from, you know, teaching them about God and talking to them about God, I like to show them by the way that I live my life, and a lot of times it's just giving up my time to things that not necessarily have anything to do with blessing me, but others, and when
exactly.
They see that. And, you know, just to have that example that they see, you know, well, my dad is, you know, he's really doing this and doing that. And I hope that they can emulate that as they grow up, as they grow older, that their world wouldn't be so egocentric, that they wouldn't be so egocentric, that it wouldn't, that the world wouldn't revolve around what their needs were. But it would be more like even more like the Western world where it's very family oriented or group oriented. And it's about the progression of the tribe, but the progression of the community, and not the individual. Individual accolades aren't really as celebrated as group or community accolades. So if we were able to do something as a group, then that is something worth celebrating. And it really feed into them, so that as they grow into the world, they won't be like the people that are coming up now, where it's all about me. It's all about me. I'm going to step on whoever I got to step on in order to get to the top. It'll be, well, I'm going to prepare myself, but now how can I help you? And that would be their attitude.
And exactly, you know, you're bringing to them not just your effort and your, you know, your music and your spirituality, but you're bringing joy and you're bringing laughter to their lives. You're a multifaceted package. To people in need, you know. Speaking of humor, what was the funniest thing that has ever happened to you? Let's share some of that with the audience.
Wow, there's There's a couple of things. Let's start with something that ended with me getting 4 stitches. All right. So I'm in Santiago in the Dominican Republic. And when I was younger, my sister and I would go at the same time for like the entire summer, and we would usually stay with my godfather, Polo, and in his house. And my sister and I, we would be there, and I'd watch TV, and I'd be there. The way my godfather's house is set up is that you go into the main door, and then to the right is the dinner table, and then further is, if you keep going in, is the door that leads into the kitchen, and then further back is the door that leads to where you would kill the chicken and then, you know, pluck the feathers out and then clean it so that you could eat. And then now stepping back out to the dining area, the main entrance, the lobby of the house, it's like a mansion type thing. So then you go further on to the right is like the living room area where you have the seats, the TV, the entertainment center. And then there's like a door, like a sliding door, a glass door. So I was sitting there in that area, and I was watching TV. I was watching, at the time it was it was the Flintstones, but in Spanish, La Pica Piedra. And then my sister, I see her coming into the room with saladitas, which were crackers that, you know, are from the Dominican Republic. And I'd be like, yeah, where'd you get that? And she was like, I don't know, it's the last one. Don't lie to me. Where'd you get it? And she's like, no, I'll say it. It's the last one in front of God. It's the last one. I'm like, no. And so then I was like, you know, I don't believe you. So I go into the kitchen, and I'm looking, and I open up the pantry door, and I'm looking, and I can't find it. And I'm thinking it's on the top. So I back up, and I jump as hard as I can, and boom. And I smacked myself in the head, and I didn't realize that the cupboard was right under me. I jump up, and I smack my head, and I'm like, oh, my God, and it hurts so much. I thought it was just like, you know, one of those hits where you're like, Jesus, Lord. And then I'm like, why is my hair wet? And I'm just I'm rubbing it. I'm like, kind of like, just, you know, like, como te das sobre, cuando te digo, don't go pay nada. I'm sorry. When you rub yourself and you hurt yourself really hard, and I'm like, why is my hair wet? And I look at my hand, this is full of blood. And I'm like, that's my blood. And
oh no.
And I don't panic at first.
Oh God.
So I kind of just walk, you know, nonchalantly to the door, and I motioned to my cousin to come here. She's my older cousin. She was in charge of me at the time, my cousin Angie. And then I show her my hand, and her eyes go wide. She goes, where's that? Where's it from? And I point to the top of my head, and she goes, oh my God. And I'm all calm, and I'm like, why are these women screaming? And they're like, oh my God, and she's going nuts. And then she stuffs my head.
That is really
sink.
Not funny, Tony. That sounds painful.
And then she almost like literally like grabs my neck like a chicken, and just kind of stuffs my head into the sink. Turns the water on, it just runs water over my head, and then she kind of just takes like a gauze, well, drops my head with the towel and takes a gauze and puts like medical tape over the gauze. So I'm there, I look like a monk, and I have this big bulbous gauze sticking on the top of my head, and I'm sitting down waiting for my aunt to come home.
And when she gets home,
she asks me, you know, so what happened? And I said, well, I was looking for saliditas, and then I just jumped up and hit my head. And then she goes, what? We're gonna go to the hospital, like a la clinica. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to go, tía, no quiero ir a la clinic. And they're like, well, tiene que ir a la clinic, you gotta go to the clinic. And so we go to the hospital, and then I get there, and I'm 9, but it takes about 12 orderlies and medical doctors to hold me down so that they could shave the top of my head and stitch me up. And I'm screaming at the top of my head, like, no, because I was always afraid to get stitches. And then they put me down, and finally, between 12 doctors and orderlies, they hold me down and shave me, and then they put the stitches, and as they put the stitches, and I'm screaming, I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't even hurt. And then I calm down. And
Man, you think that was the funniest thing? Oh, my God. That sounds so painful. I don't know if I could have done that.
It's funny.
I don't know if I could have endured that.
It's fun. And then, I mean, I've got other stories. Just hang on a second. You just hold on your seat. Mm-hmm. And, there's one time, it was eighth grade graduation. I went to St. Patrick's mm-hmm. Cathedral in the city in Little Italy on Mott and Prince Street. And it was eight. We just graduated. You know, we considered ourselves seniors. It was junior high. You know, considered ourselves seniors. You know, big men on campus. So a bunch of my friends and I. You know, usually I would take the yellow bus that would drop me off on Grand and Pitt Street, and from there I would walk over to the Henry Street Settlement, which is the after school program that I would go to until my mom was out of work to pick us up. So I decided not to take the yellow bus. And just a bunch of my friends and I, we were 13 years old.
Right.
And we're walking through Chinatown, through little, let me tell you something, during those times, it was just a lot of gangs, a lot of things that went on that were not conducive to the preservation of life. So, you know, we're just a bunch of 13-year-olds. You know, think we're all invincible, we're huge. You know, we just graduated junior high, and we're just walking around hanging out, you know. And I spent a couple of hours, and I usually get settlement at about 2:45. So now at this time, it's maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock, and my mom is like, the people from the center call my mom, we don't know where he is, we don't know what's going on, he hasn't on the bus, he hasn't come here, his sister's here, the way he's not, Carmen, you need to get over here right now. And then my mom is just flipping out, and she's worried out of her mind. She's going bananas.
Yeah.
And then I go to 460 Grand, which is where my friend Leopold lived, and we were just hanging out. We started playing, what was it? At the time, we didn't know it wasn't PlayStation. It was, that was 1996. So it was either Super Nintendo or PlayStation 1. But anyway, we were playing. Well, whatever, was hanging out. It was a good time. I had a pizza, a beef patty, and a Coke. So then I'm walking all nonchalantly, a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of bounce in my step. And then as I turn the corner to lead up to the after school program, Miss Evelyn Jones, which is a lady, she was the administrative assistant there. All those ladies in the director's office and they were like secondary mothers to me. They would like, you know, knock me upside the head if I was misbehaving. Like, I think, you know better. What is wrong with you? So then I'm turning the corner, and I see her with her hand on her hip, tapping so hard. I could feel the rumbling from her tapping all the way to the end of the block. And then all I see is her long finger point to me. There he is. And my mom.
No.
What is
the
style? How did he get? Just grabbed me by my ear, and I'm thinking, I'm like, hold it. I was like, no, you're just hanging out. What's wrong? Who are you? You're not a man that you dominate yourself. Oh, man. And my sister's laughing it up in the background with her arms closed. I told you so. I hated that. Couldn't stand that.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it when I had a friend who's probably listening right now? I used to hang out with when I was in my teens, and I remember one day, you remember those lobster shoes? They had them back in the 1970s, and I had these very high pair of lobster shoes with the platform. You know, you actually look, if you're 5'5", you look like you're 5'8".
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
Three-inch high shoes, and I remember we were running for... I think it was a bus, and I took a stumble. My ankle gave, and I flipped around a stop sign three times. And my dear good friend, my beautiful, sweet little church friend who I was with, is standing there laughing at me. She's dying hysterically. And the bus driver, I was holding up the bus, a busload of people, and the bus driver, you know, out of compassion, you know, waited for me to get my bearings and dust myself off and resumed taking the bus. But that was a really funny scenario in my life. Another scenario was I was getting ready to go to work one morning, and just as I'm walking down the street, I thought, gee, people must like my outfit. You know, what is it about me today? Everybody's staring, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I looked down. I felt a kind of tugging on my purse, on the belt buckle of my purse, and I looked down,
And what do I see? I actually see a Fruit of the Loom underwear hanging off my, off the side of my purse. So what do? I grab it, I bunch it up, and I put it inside my purse. It turns out that I had done laundry that morning, and I had thrown the laundry on top of the bed to be folded later on when I came back. When I came back from work. But one of the Fruit of the Loom underwear, my husband's underwear, followed me to work that morning. So I will never forget that. That was a really embarrassing. There was a couple of other embarrassing scenarios. But, okay, now that I embarrass myself in front of so many hundreds of people who know that my husband's Fruit of the Loom underwear followed me to work one morning.
Absolutely. You know, we know he's a real man because he wears Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah. So, you know, those are interesting little scenarios. We have to laugh at ourselves. We can't take life so seriously. We are very multifaceted beings. We cannot be one way. We cannot be one way all the time. It's boring. You know, honestly, I'm an intellectual person too. I love to talk about philosophy and art and music and different things. But not everybody's into that. And I know that I get boring sometimes too, you know. So I know that when somebody talks too much about one topic all the time, it gets me down, and I just need to just, hey, let's unwind, let's laugh, let's talk.
No, absolutely.
You know?
I'm all about talking, and I guess I've always gotten heat about it, especially for my cousins, because, you know, they'd primarily just, you know, talk about the standard things that, you know, hormonal boys or teenage guys or adult men now talk about,
right.
Is either, you know, money, females, cars, or acquisition of property.
Right.
And, you know, I like to talk about the metaphysical things in life, you know, things that aren't necessarily tangible, but do exhibit themselves and display themselves in our daily lives through our character. And
right.
talk about the deeper things in life, like the importance of family. And like one of the issues I have now with one of my cousins is that this particular individual is very, like his daily routine and his weekly routine is just,
mm-hmm.
It's very egocentric. It's all about him. And there's no, like, I'll reach out to him or her and I'll try to contact this person and there's no reciprocation. There's no, you know, there's no engagement. And this is
no interaction.
All of our cousins, not unless I go personally there and just reach out to this person. And as cousins, when we were growing up, we were all like brothers and sisters. And so it's just trying to talk into this, and I constantly tell him, you know, he tells me, oh, bro, I can't pick up the phone, you know, because I'm working or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And so I'm like, you know, you should definitely call back. You know, we must engage. And it's important for people to know that, because even today, like,
sure.
aside from my cousin, it's something that I'm seeing evident in a lot of people, that if it's inconvenient by the slightest, then it's something that they try to avoid entirely.
Right.
I hear this phrase from the younger generations all the time now. It's, oh, that's mad work. Like, what do you mean? Like, the simplest task, like maybe just copying something down or just dialing a number. Oh, that's mad work. Mad work. That phrase drives me up the wall. Like,
yeah. Me too.
I mean, it's just like even my daughter, when she tells me, Daddy, I'm bored, I always tell her, honey, you don't have to be entertained every moment of your life.
True. Yeah. I agree with that. A lot of people need a lot of outside stimulation. And they don't realize that they're the ones who can create and make their fun, you know, do things, have really fun things to do.
You know, I don't, and even looking back when I was a kid, I that word bored never came out of my mouth, like very rarely. You know, like my sister and I, we would make huge messes. Like we would take the box, like my parents would buy a big screen TV or a TV. We would take the boxes, we would cut them out. We would make little, like, armaments for our bodies. We would put it on, like, duct tape. We would cut it, and I'd make, like, an extension for my arm. She would make something for her head and for her other arm. And I would be Mega Man, and she would be some other character that I can't remember because it was too girly, and it was disgusting to me at the time. I was a boy.
That's cute.
But, you know, I say that to say that it's just we created our own entertainment. It wasn't, we didn't rely necessarily entirely on the TV, although we did watch it, but we didn't entirely dedicate it to the TV. We went out, we played video games, we played outside games, I played basketball, I played roller hockey, basketball, football, baseball, soccer, I did fencing.
You're a very busy young man, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I gotta say thanks to my mom. You know, she really put us all out there. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of Dominican guys from Bushwick, Brooklyn that can say they know how to fence.
You can't say that. I'm sure that there are. It's just that, you know, somebody's got to sort of pull it out of them or something. Sometimes it just takes somebody as quirky as you or me to bring that out in people. My friends, people who know me know that I'm very quirky. I'm very, very, and the thing is that I'm funny in a clumsy sort of way, so that lends more to the way that they laugh at me, which I think is great. Although, quite frankly, most often they laugh at my expense. but glad that I bring joy to someone's life in some way.
Absolutely, and you know, I've been noticing a lot. Like, if, like, say, a lot of my musician friends, they'll be such great musicians, but they can't play sports. Or I'll have my very athletic friends, where they can play sports, but they can't play music. And it's like, and I'm trying to see if there's others like myself who are not just musical but also athletic. And then also in touch with God, and I'm finding it like there was I can't remember where I read this, but there was in the ancient times that the Greeks believed that a complete man was a man who was in touch with the several aspects of his life, and it was the romantic the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now the mind was intellect, being intelligent, being able to, you know, to fend for yourself when it came to just philosophy and things like that. And then there was the soul, which was the musical and the emotional aspect.
Right. You have to be a well-balanced person. You cannot be one way all the time. And there are people who spend a lot of time sulking, complaining, or they'll talk too much about the one thing that they know how to do when there are so many things that they can do. And you don't have to be super mega talented to do anything. You know, there's always going to be two or three things that every human being can do to entertain themselves and to entertain others, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, I have friends that are very philosophical, and they spend a lot of time philosophizing, and they talk a lot about that, and I enjoy it. But, you know, at some point you sort of have to turn it off and just sort of, you know, become human and say, okay, now we're going to enjoy God's creation. You know, they tend to be just one way. They're locked into this one way of being, whether it's because of their spirituality, which it's sad to say, it's wonderful to be spiritual, and I love it. But God gave us all of this to enjoy. Everything that's around us is for enjoyment, for our pure enjoyment. And a lot of people, they just do one thing, and they don't realize that, you know, they have to be thankful and enjoy what they've been given. And if they're talented, if they like art, if they like music, if they like going on outings with their family, if they like to read, if they like to write poetry, network, do fun food drives, clothing drives, do charity work. There's so much that people can do out there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I guess I want to shout out or challenge believers and Christians to really, you know,
and anyone believers.
Yeah, and anyone, but
anybody
more.
Persuasion. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I guess I'm calling out just like Christian believers specifically at this point, just because, like, I'll get a lot of criticism because I really enjoy the crushed grapes, the beverage of the crushed grapes, wine, and it's something that I enjoy, especially with food. And I tried to explain this at one time. It's never to become intoxicated. It's just I'm a cook, so I really like everything that I cook. It gets accompanied by something. For instance, if I make a ceviche sauce with some shrimp, or I'll get a piece of salmon or whatever fish.
You're getting me hungry now.
You know, and then what I like to do is I'll have it. If I'm cooking shrimp, I'll actually get a specific beer. It's called Blue Moon, and I'll put it into the pot as the shrimp are cooking. And let me tell you something. Those are some of the best tasting shrimp ever. I mean, I took it to my father, whom I've learned to cook from. And when I present it, I go to him to judge everything that I do. So I put the plate in front of him, and he eats it. And he tells me, whoa, son, you cooked this? I was like, yes, sir, I did. And he's like, oh, he's not saved. So he said, holy, you know, these are better than mine. these are better than my shrimp.
what people fail to see is that when you do something, you're bringing delight to other people. You're bringing, but whether it's through the taste buds, through cooking, through barbecuing, you know, baking, cookies, a special kind of a cookie recipe. I know this really wonderful lady, Patty Bugland, who made these amazing desserts for us some years ago. And I still taste them in my mouth. They were so good. But that's a talent. I mean, there are some people who can bake, and then there are people who can really, really bake. And this lady's like an artist with her baking. And, you know, but these are little things that we bring to other people, you know, through the things that we do. And it could be the simplest things. It could be as simple as knowing an artful way to sew a button to a jacket. You know?
Absolutely.
You're bringing something to someone. You're bringing knowledge. You're bringing something special to that person's life. And that's just narrowing down to the smallest, you know, example of how we can help and be a blessing and bring joy to other people, whether
Absolutely.
It's food, whatever we do.
You know, now that we're talking about food, it might be cool in the future to even do like a special just on, you know, people who are, you know, great cooks. Like, for instance, there was my friend's wife. She has a cake making company,
mm-hmm.
and she makes these elaborate cakes. These
mm-hmm.
things are just so amazing. Like, they're you just want to look at them. They're designer cakes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You don't want to eat them. And just, you know, like, talk about just the process and, you know,
mm-hmm.
how you get your ideas and when you go about that. And then, you know, we'll have another segment where I'll probably be cooking something and giving the recipe over the phone and just having the
right.
process.
And
that
you see that cake thing? That artistry, she can bring it into something good, into fundraising, making beautiful cakes for fundraising. You know, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Hold the thought just for one second. But the same applies to people who know how to do good makeup. They can put on a show, a play, do good makeup, and fundraise that way, or do makeup just as a fundraising thing, or just as something that you have fun with. Nails, people who do nails, guys who know how to fix cars and who like to talk about their work, you know, they don't have to. You don't have to have a master's degree to enjoy what you do.
to, you know, you don't have to work in corporate America or be a CEO running a company and knowing, enjoying being a person of power. There's just so much empowerment in so many other things in life that people fail to see. And a lot of people complain. I've heard women complain, oh, I don't have a talent. You do so much and I don't have one thing. But, you know, they really need to just take a walk. You know, take a little walk a couple of hours a day for about a week, and you're going to find, you know, they're bound to find not just one thing, but at least five things that they could do well.
Absolutely. And you know what? They can even go into a section or take walks into sections that they've never been before. So a lot of times we'll circle the same neighborhoods, circle the same areas. Go to a place where you've never been before. A lot of times, like when I was younger, when I was first started writing, when I needed some fresh ideas, I would just take an alternate route home and just take, mm-hmm. you know, take a walk from a different side. And mm-hmm. that would just inspire me. And even to this day, I still do it. And I you know what, and I'm going to use this as a highlight to that point, is that I still remember to this day, there was this one moment where I was walking down Stanhope. I was still living in my mother's house at the time, and I was walking down Stanhope in Ridgewood, Queens, and it was across the street from my alma mater where I graduated from, Grover Cleveland High School, and it was the park. It was before the construction that was just made, and there was a moment where the sun was setting, and there was certain holes in different parts of the park. And it's like so vivid because it was so impactful. I wish I had a camera to capture that moment because it's so, majestic. Like the gold, it was almost like a golden spotlight was just dropped into the park, in several sections of the park. And it was just like the surrounding areas were beginning to twilight, to darken. Mm. And it was such a deep gold light coming through into the park, into the basketball court where we were. And I stopped playing basketball, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And the guys were rushing me to start, keep the game going, but I was just like, guys, do you see what's going on here? This is gorgeous, man. Look. And, but, you know, just things like that. You know, you won't see that if you keep taking the same routes home. You won't receive that muse or that inspiration in your life.
Right.
Unless
and if you're
really
still,
experiment.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And if you're still thinking in the box, you have to start thinking outside of the box. Don't develop a frame of mind that you've been taught. You know, try to start learning how to think independently of everything that you know and that you've learned. And I don't mean, you know, in a rebellious way, or because a lot of people go off the deep end and they become very revolutionary. Dare to think for yourself and dare to, like you said, take that walk and don't deviate from the norm. Get out of that, you know, routine. Think about what you love to do. Play. Spend some time playing. Try taking some personality tests and find out what personality type you are and what hobbies or things or fun things best, you know, apply to your kind of personality. Learn your learning style. Do you learn quick? Do you learn fast? Do you like quizzes? Do you like visual stuff, auditory stuff? Do you like reading and writing, tactile, or anything, kinesthetic? Notice what people tell you about yourself, too, because I noticed that people used to tell me things about myself, Tony, that I didn't, you know, pay attention to. And then I started listening. And for once, now that I've started listening is when my talents are actually really producing fruit, because I started listening to people. I started paying attention to what others were telling me, you know.
And I've actually taken the same route. For years, people were telling me, you know, we want you to do something acoustic, man. The acoustic sounds great with your voice. And I was just like, man, I really love the electric, because I've been playing electric guitar for a long time now, and that's mm-hmm. you know, that's been my primary instrument for the past 8 years now. Mm-hmm. The first 5 years of my musical life were all on acoustic, and then the next 7 to 8 have just been pretty much electric, playing lead guitar and like the worship team and in the group. And even when I go out to play, I play primarily with my electric because I feel comfortable with it. It's got the body I want, and I really love the roar of the amplifier. It just resonates within me, and it's my character. But there's something about just when I pick up the acoustic that it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's just so intimate and it's so,
yeah,
it's exactly. so organic.
But you listen to people. You took time out to take, right, to take those walks, to listen to what people were telling you, to notice what you're not good at, make a note of what you're not good at and what you're struggling with, and try to get better or get out of it and try something new, right? Keep a journal or a notebook of some sort of what it is that you'd like to do. It could be writing. It could be anything. And you did it with the guitar. And look at you. I'm amazed at your talent. I'm just absolutely amazed.
Wow.
That you're sharing it with others is wonderful, because now you took it from point A, which was you didn't know what you wanted to do, to listening to people, to taking that walk that you're talking about, and exploring, and then finding that one thing that you like to do, which is to write and sing and play. And now you've gone 9 or 10 steps to sharing your talent with others. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. And that you're using it for this benefit concert. By the way, we only have about 8 more minutes before we start the show, the recording of the show that you and I did together, the interview that we did together. But I just want to say that I hope that people listening to you today take your advice and hone in on their talents and not just stick with just one thing. You know, here's another thing. Spirituality is the foundation of everything. Because when we're spiritual, we like ourselves better because and we can love others better because we like ourselves better. Because now we're living a better quality of life. We're moral. We're living in order, in righteousness. And then you start layering the career and the family that you have and the artistic talents that you have and the work that you begin to do. And you start layering those pieces together, and you've got a multifaceted person who's spiritual first and foremost, and then everything else on top of that. And that's beautiful. It is beautiful.
It is, and I just want, you know, I want to thank you again, just you know, for just encouraging to hear, you know, other people that, you know, that like my music, just because, you know, growing up, I always heard, you know, Anthony, music is a hobby, you know, there's other people, you know, you're okay, but there's other people better, and so, you know, that's something that's always kind of stuck with me, and for like about a good 2 years, I almost put down the guitar completely and didn't really do anything, because it was it's just like constant discouragement, and I was just, maybe I should just forget about it. And, I mean, thankfully, I didn't. I continued to, you know, to develop my craft. But those are the things that I had to overcome just to get to this point now. And I'm not there yet, but
mm-hmm.
I'm further along than where I was four years ago. And just, you know, to elaborate on what you said, it makes you a more complete person, a better person. You can help people better because, I mean, I think a lot of times we deal with a lot of guilt or even shame.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when we come to the acknowledgement that in reality, there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation or to earn the love of God. It's just something that God gives us for free. It's something
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to work for. It's something that we don't have
right.
to strive for. It's
mm-hmm.
already there. All we have to do is say yes. And I think, you know, no story paints that picture better than the story of the prodigal son, that after he sinned and like pretty much told his father, you're as good as dead to me, that he came back and came back trying to be a slave. But his father welcomed him, put a ring on his finger, welcomed him as his son, his royalty, killed a calf to celebrate his return. And that's just the same as the love of God, that no
mm-hmm.
matter what we do, no matter how evil we've been or what wrongs we've done, that he's always ready and willing to accept us. We just have to be willing to take that first step to him. And sometimes,
exactly.
and if you remember the story, the father didn't wait there till the son came all the way. He ran and met him halfway. So God is never going to just wait for you to swell up by. He's not prideful like that. He'll meet you halfway. Wherever you're going to, if you take that first step to him, he's going to take 50 steps to you. And that's just how God is. And that's his character. And just knowing, once we know and acknowledge that it's ultimately just the thing that the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us, that has paid everything that we ever needed and will need in the future, and trust in that, no matter what we do, we're always going to know, man, I messed up, but you know what? God still loves me, and he still wants me, and he still wants to use me. And that is what leads us to a peaceful life where we're not resentful, we don't have bitterness, and we're able to love others because we know that, that we are loved.
Yes, and do and you know and do many things to you know procure and to actually spread that love.
Yes.
Because we the love is in us, definitely it's in us. But now we have to take the talk and put it into the walk. And I should say it without the regional accent. We should take the talk and do the walk.
No, you
my
know what?
Make fun of me.
No,
my,
you know what?
My
do
Brooklyn
it.
Accent.
No, you leave it. Leave that Brooklyn. You can. You got to take the talk and put it into the walk. All right, that's all right.
That's Brooklyn. That's definite Brooklyn. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
Is walk it and you know stop talking about it. You know, don't tell me you love me. Pick up the phone and talk to me and say hello to me. Don't tell me you're thinking about me. If you're thinking about me, then pick up the phone and call me. Let's be friends. Let's communicate. Because sometimes the people who talk the most are the people you least hear from. You know, they're all over the internet, all over Facebook, talking about God and all this and that, and you barely even know these people because they don't step out of their comfort zone. They're too afraid to materialize and become flesh and blood to other people. And I'm not saying you know go to Facebook and start meeting up with everybody you meet on Facebook. No, I don't mean that because you know you have to be very careful, very selective, and wise, and you know very cautious. But on the other hand, how are we going to be effective as human beings if we're not going to you know step out of that safety zone and really show our love to others? We have 2 more minutes to go before the show goes live.
By the way, my wife
before the airing of the show.
My wife gave you
the airing of the interview. Sorry.
My wife gave you the thumbs up when you said that about a lot of times of people talking about that they don't reach out.
Yeah, don't talk to me. You know, I serve the same God you serve. I already know plenty about the Bible. Don't talk to me about how wonderful you think God is and how much you love him. I already know that. Now you've got to go that extra step and show others, you know, that you really mean what you say. Because proving that you mean, M-E-A-N, what you're saying, that's a very vital part of who we are.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about in the spiritual sense. I need to say, I'm talking about if we're people, charitable people who want to help people out in the world, in our careers, whether we be bosses, whether we are employees, whether we serve someone, in whatever we do, we have to show that we mean, that we love what we do, and that we want to do it right, and we want others to be affected well by it. We want to be effective. And that's across the board. And it starts with, like I said, spirituality and the foundation of being a spiritual, high-quality human being. And that does not mean being full of words. It means
action. You're absolutely right. And if you know, I always tell people all the time, listen, you call yourself a Christian, why don't you study exactly what Jesus did? Like exactly. Like if we look exactly what Jesus did, Jesus never raised his voice or was never hostile towards anyone except for Judas and the Sadducees and the Pharisees.
We have 1 more minute. I just want to share with the audience Tony Max, alias Tony Max. His name is Anthony Sanchez, but please call him Tony Max when he's on stage. Doing a benefit concert. He's working on getting a venue, and this is Love in Action. This is what he's putting his words with it, or his, what is it? His money where his mouth is. Please consider, you know, coming back, and we're going to post you on where the venue is going to take place. Tony, thank you so much for being on our program. You're wonderful.
And, you're very welcome. Right back at you.
I really cannot wait to have you back. We're going to talk about other many, many multifaceted things because I can talk, honey. I can talk forever. And there's a lot that I can talk about and you can bring to the table too. And I would love that very much. Maybe you can bring Liz on board the next time too.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who are listening, I'm going to, within a minute's time, I'm going to start playing a taping, a recording of the interview that I did with Tony earlier in the week, where he expounds a little bit on his work as a singer, songwriter, his life, his family, and
you know, his dedication to his music and his use of his music for benefiting others. He's a philanthropist, and I really like that. He's somebody who loves his work. Tony, is there anything you want to share in a minute, within a minute's time, that you want to say before we go to the show interview?
Yes. Audience, love yourself, love the Lord, love your spouse, but more importantly, love everybody. Don't hold any grudges. Keep it moving. Let's keep it simple, and let's be easy.
Thank you, Tony. It's been so lovely having you on the program today, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Carmen.
Take care now.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I love songs like that, but I don't do
Well, it seemed that I had a little bit of difficulty reconnecting back to the program after we hung up with Tony. And so, well, you know, I'm just going to continue for the next 40 minutes. I was... And
go well, you know. I'm just going to continue.
So I will actually be on for another half an hour. So if anybody wishes to call and talk to us, and I make some sense of the technology here because I'm still learning how this works, I think we'll be okay. But I have a half an hour, and I will not be able to play Tony's interview from yesterday. But you can go to the New York Pod Cafe website and download the interview from there to your machine, to your PC. So right now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see if I can make provision of that for folks on Facebook and Twitter, and all of these different networks that I'm connected to, so that people can hear, people who were listening to the show, who were looking forward to hearing the actual recording of yesterday's interview, they'll have a chance to view it, hear it today. So I'm trying to see if we can get it back online to everyone. But that is not an easy thing to do because we had a bit of a change in format here somehow, and I can't seem to get the link I'm going to try to see if I can post it to Facebook again so that those, my friends on Facebook who see it will actually be able to download the interview from yesterday. And here it goes, and we're telling them that we're going to download it. So it will be like listening to it on the radio because you can actually download it onto your iTunes, and you can either click download on the left side of my photo, or you can click open with your media player. You'll see it somewhere surrounding my photo on the channel, on the podcasting station's publicity page. So, again, you either play it on your default player, or you will play it, you will actually download it. I think you should wait until after I sort of sign out, which will probably be, again, in about a half an hour of airtime. And since I cannot play for you right now, I will just continue to talk and maybe share some of my music with you live. So I'll do that. I'm going to try to see if I can play something for you, if it doesn't sound too pathetic. because I would be sharing it with you directly from YouTube. Okay. I'm going to play an old song that I sang with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay. I want to play an old song that I sang with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I don't think it's really working out. I don't think that's really working out too well. I have to get my other microphone popped in, and that's going to take some time to do. And since that's going to take time to do, I'm not going to do it today. I have to get my other microphone popped in, and that's going to take some time to do. And since that's going to take time to do, I'm not going to do it today. Yeah, and it seems that I have an echo, too, on top of everything else. I don't know what happened there. It's like I have an echo.
Yeah, and it seems that I have an echo, too, on top of everything else.
Yeah, either that or I just have too many screens open to my program. But you were listening to me talking to Tony Max earlier. And what a swell guy he is. I'm so happy to get to know, to really know this guy, because I met him through somebody who I was associated with during my years with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. So I don't know if you're within the sound of my voice here. I don't know if you can hear me, but I think you could probably hear me better now than before. I had a lot of stuff going on here in the background, and so you're probably hearing about a million a million echoes of my voice going out. I'm still trying to master this engineering thing. And I'm sure that at some point I will have it down. So, you know, hopefully you will bear with me for the time being. And we will have some interesting people to interview for you that you're going to like. People who like to laugh, who are funny, who are creative, and who have so much to share with the internet community. So far we've been blessed with, well, now it's going on almost 1,000 listeners combined between the two airings. And it seems that we continue to acquire more listeners because the programs are being downloaded on the internet. Even after we're off the air, people continue to listen in. So it's a wonderful thing, technology, isn't it, that we can go on the air and reach a lot of people in real time. And then later on, after the show wraps, people will continue to hear the show and downloading them to their iPods, to their iPads, to their computers, to their smartphones. It is so cool. I actually downloaded my program yesterday on my own on my own telephone, my own smartphone, and I couldn't believe the reach that this show has, and I've only been on for 2 days. So I'm welcoming people who are interested in advertising with us to please do so. If you'd like me to post an advertisement for you because you have a business, this is the way to go. We are reaching a high audience, and I will be very glad to send anyone who's interested in advertising on my program the data that supports how many people are actually listening in. As a matter of fact, the first program that I did on November 11th now has reached 394 listeners. So that program alone has almost 400 listeners and climbing. So people continue to hear that program on their iPads, and they continue to download it, which I think is amazing. It's truly amazing. So the interview that I did yesterday already has 300 listeners or 300 downloads. People have downloaded that show with Tony Max 300 times, and I was sharing with Tony that that's about 300 people that he didn't know 3 days ago, or that I didn't know, that didn't know me. And now all of a sudden, he's on Block Talk Radio with me here on the New York Pod Cafe, and we have these hundreds and hundreds of people listening to us. So this is a wonderful venue for a product that you would like to advertise with me, for these people who are listening in, for a business. If you're a real estate company or a small real estate company or a beauty salon, a nail place, a spa, and you're starting out and you would like to advertise with us, by all means, contact me and I will send you the sponsorship information for you to advertise with us. And then you just send us your criteria, any copy that you have that you would like us to use, and we will go ahead and we'll post it. We'll actually create a commercial for you with music and everything in the background to post to this program so that people who are listening will be exposed to your product or your company. And I think it's wonderful. My show is, I'm not Howard Stern or any of those people, but I feel so happy that it's an empowering thing to know that so many people are actually downloading this program all over the world, not just here, but, you know, not just in New York City. We're talking across America, all over the United States, and across the globe, which is far more than any radio station can reach. So your advertisement on this show has the potential to reach millions. And as it is, on day two, we've already reached almost 1,000 people. There's no telling how many more people we will be reaching by the end of this month on this program. So Come on, get on board with me. Send me your advertisement if you want to advertise your business, your law practice, your real estate company, your bakery, your restaurant, anything you want to advertise. Just, you know, send us an email. Send it to me. You can reach me at events@carmengoldbergmedia.com. That's where you can send me your information if you're interested. And I will send you the contract information for you to advertise on this program. And we will get your advertising up right away following the exact criteria that your company sets for using logos and presenting your company's image on our show. Because we would also post it on the graphic that plays during the airing of the show, which is great. I mean, you cannot lose. You're only going to gain exposure to your product and to your business. So, you know, come on board. Again, events@CarmenGoldbergMedia. If you want to reach me directly at an email where I am, you can pretty much reach me at most of the time. Try me at CarmenAmoros1@gmail.com. That's CarmenAmoros1@gmail.com. And that's an email where you can reach me if you're interested in advertising with me, or if you're interested in, you're an artist and you have, or you're a poet, or you're someone who has an exhibit somewhere, an art exhibit somewhere, and you would like folks to know about it, just get in touch with me and I'll send you the contract and you can advertise with us as well. Or we can interview you too. The interviewing, right now we don't have any sponsorship, so we don't pay people to interview with us. But the exposure that you're getting would benefit your business tremendously just by virtue of the fact that you're with us. This thing exploded. For the past couple of days, I cannot believe how many people are actually listening to this program. And I've only been on for 2 days live. This being day number two. So it doesn't hurt to advertise with the New York Podcasting Cafe. And I'm on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com. And that's blogtalkradio.com/ New York Podcasting Cafe. And anytime you want to listen in, just go to that link and you'll see new episodes that pop up from my show on that link. And what I've suggested you do is pour yourself a cup of coffee, some hot cocoa, maybe take out some cookies or your favorite dessert. Turn us on, you know, turn it on your PC. And just join us and even call us. I mean, you can reach me if you want to talk to me right now. You can reach me at 646-200-3938. That's 646-200-3938. Call me if you feel like chatting. I would love to hear from you. Let's have some fun. Hear yourself at the end of the episode. People will be listening to you while you talk to us, too, and you share any insight that you have about the work that you do or your hobbies or your life, any tips that you have. If you're a mom and you have learned some things from being a mommy and playing doctor, sometimes wearing the doctor's hat or the psychiatrist or psychologist's hat, or you have to play policeman with your child, share it with us. There are a lot of folks out there who probably don't know how to manage their kids too well. And they would certainly love to hear how good you are with parenting or how good you are with a particular topic of conversation. I may not be able to share your expertise with them, but you can. And you can do so right here just by calling us at 646-200-3938. I'm going to be here for another 23 minutes, and then I'll be signing off. And then hopefully I will be back with a new program, a new show, a new artist, or a new personality to share with you. and have some intelligent conversation that you can enjoy and benefit from. So just, you know, feel free to just give us a ring. It's fun. It's just fun to be here, knowing that many of you are listening. But I was sharing with Tony about talents. For those of you out there who were listening to us earlier, don't feel bad that you may not have talents or that you're lacking in something. It's like Tony was saying, go out, take a walk, get out of the norm, get out of your regular routine. If you're a mother and you're busy with the kids all day, have your honey, have your husband take care of the children for the night. And take some time out that early that evening, hopefully when the sun is still out, and, you know, take a walk in, you know, out in the park or by the water somewhere with your music, with your, you know, iPod. And just think about how you can grow artistically or what things you can do that will enable you to start a business or start some kind of a function, you know, an event or company or something that will help other people, that will aid people, that will teach people. I know a lot of things. I know how I've had a business. I had a business on the internet. I had several businesses on the internet. So at some point I'm going to do a segment on how to start a business from the ground up on a shoestring very easily. So I've done that. I've, you know, sang, so I know how to send out contracts and introduce myself to people to go to, you know, sing at events and different things. I have actually learned how to produce my own recordings. There's a lot that I can share with my audience. I can't do it all in one show. And not only that, but I have to script it so that it sounds nicer than the way that I'm talking to you right now, which is pretty much off the top of my head. I'm just going on and on and on and on right now because the technical problems that I had did not permit me to let you hear Anthony's interview with me the other day. So I'm unscripted right now. I have about 20 more minutes to go, and for 20 minutes, all I'm going to be doing is just going from one topic to the other off the top of my head with absolutely no script before me. So I'm not reading anything. I'm just talking. It's just my brain processing and my mouth moving only because I don't want to waste the airtime. If I have 20 minutes, I want to share it with you. And by the way, during those 20 minutes, I'm going to ask that you go to Tony Max's website. And Tony is the person that I interviewed yesterday and whose program you're going to hear on download when you go to the New York Pod Cafe, New York Podcasting Cafe. You're going to see his interview there and you can download it. And Tony Max in that interview talks about his work. But you can go to his website at http://reverbnation. That's reverbnation.com/AnthonySanchez. And take a listen to his music and write to him. This is a very intelligent man. This man is a teacher. He's a music educator here in New York City. He teaches music. He teaches guitar. So, you know, you're not just contacting, you know, some run-of-the-mill artist that just came out of the woodwork. This is somebody who's an educated, he's a brilliant young man, very polished. He speaks well. He sings well. He composes well. He plays his guitar beautifully. And he has some special things that he wants to contribute to the world through his music. He wants to be someone who's an activator and motivates people to help others during crisis. Go there. Go to www.reverbnation.com/AnthonySanchez and talk to him. Say hello. Befriend him. He's got a new CD coming up. I don't know what it's titled. We haven't gotten that far yet, but at some point in time, we're going to do another interview, and he's going to share the title of his new CD. But he's coming up with a new CD, and on the interview that I did recently with him, yesterday with him, he shares three songs that are spectacular. and I fell in love with his music. I put him over John Mayer because I think he is just amazing. Beautiful voice, like silk. He seems like silk. He plays beautifully. I love acoustic guitar. I play the acoustic guitar myself. So I love, love, love to hear his acoustic playing and the lyrics to his songs. My God, they create this visual of what he's saying in your mind. You're actually seeing it. And that's a quality that not too many artists have these days. A lot of them howl, sing, and they call that talent and they call that music. But he didn't do that. He's actually telling a story. He's a storyteller. And he sort of reminds me of, like I said, John Mayer, and Katy Perry's another one. I love Katy Perry. And I'm not even in the generation of people that's listening to Katy Perry. But I try to stay very current, and I listen to everything that I can out there. And I get into the groove. I like being in the pulse of things. And I happen to love Katy Perry's music, and Tony, Max, and I happen to share that. And one of the things that I told him yesterday and that he agreed with is that, you know, she has this amazing way to tell a story that sort of grabs you. And you get really emotionally connected to her songs because of the stories that her songs tell. And she's just amazing. I mean, you really, it's not just the music and her voice, but the story that's being told. And you really, you know, now every time I hear her sing, "In Another World, In Another Life," when I hear her sing that song, my goodness, I just want to sing it. And I want to sing with all my heart because I know what the song is about. I know the story behind the song. I know the story that the song is telling. And do you know what? Anthony Max Sanchez, alias Tony Max, his music does the same thing for me. And I didn't know him a week ago. But when I heard him, I'm like, I cannot wait to hear this CD. I cannot wait for this young man to put out his CD because I'm just going to be playing that music out so loud when I'm in the car, driving places, and just being uplifted and being encouraged and edified. And he's got a song in there that he wrote for his aunt and uncle. It's a very romantic song in Spanish that is just so reminiscent. The words are reminiscent of the songs that used to be written, you know, in the 50s and 60s. And that other wonderful song that he wrote called Yours for the Taking. Oh, my God. I ended the interview that I did with him yesterday with that song, and it just completely blew me away once again. And I know it's going to blow you away. So please, please, please tune in to Anthony Sanchez's music. He has this beautiful quality. He has this beautiful voice. He's got these amazingly visual lyrics that take you there. You're actually seeing the colors. You're seeing the places, you're seeing the things he's saying. And that's so wonderful. It's just great when a songwriter can do that with words. I just think it's phenomenal. So, you know, take a listen in. Stay tuned, you know, stick with us for a while. I'll try to keep you entertained, and I'll try to keep coming up with quirky things that I've done in my life that will keep you laughing at me, with me, whichever way you want to call it. Just, you know, just hang in there with me because we're going to be on this journey together. We're going to have some fun. And not only that, but the fun that I'm having is that you can interact with me, and I'm letting you. I'm actually calling you, calling on you to call me here at 646-200-3938 and talk to me and have fun with me. And share your funny moments, or share your tips, your expertise with me, or your salutations for the people who are listening to this show, including the survivors of the Hurricane Sandy storm 11 days ago. I can't believe it's already 11 days. Can you believe it? Yeah, it's been that long. So I'm sort of running out of saliva here because I don't have a script and I'm rambling on and on and on just to keep you in, interested in some way. But I hope that you tune in, and I hope that you stay with me. I'm also recording the CD titled Rainbow. And we've had several little setbacks that have prevented us from continuing the recording, but God willing, hopefully we'll get this finished before the spring, and I will have something to the people who sponsored the initial, you know, production of the CD. So please, you know, again, hang in there and be patient with me. If you go to www.carmenamoros.com, you'll see a page there that speaks about my work on the CD. And if you're interested in sponsoring the production of the CD, by all means, you can do that as well. There's also a CD there that I'm selling, and a percentage of the proceeds of every CD that I sell from the CD titled Never the Same, which is a mini CD, we're going to be donating to a special cause that supports the survivors of Hurricane Sandy. And there are a lot of people out there who use gimmicks and, you know, things during times of crisis to make some money. I am not one of them. I believe that, again, when you take from people, God and his universe takes from you. You know, you lose because you're taking. When you give to people, you receive. You're blessed. So I try to give as much as I get, if not more. Because it's been my experience that when I have given, I have always received so much more than what I've put out. So I pray that the audience is listening to me and taking these words in and having fun with me tonight, even though you're not calling. I know a lot of you are listening. And I know that people by the hundreds are listening because you know, the statistics are right here before me. I don't know who all of you are. I cannot target you by name or by demographic or location. Maybe Blog Talk Radio has a way of doing that up in upper management there. But all I can see is that I know that a lot of you are actually listening to this program, and I'm so excited that you guys are sticking with me, my Lord. Thank you, God. I am so thankful for you guys. You just have no idea. And I just can't wait for some of you to get up the courage to call me and say hello to me on this program. I have 10 more minutes. So if you're listening and you want to give me a call 646-200-3938 and talk to me about yourself. Talk to me about your hobby. Talk to me about your life. If somebody broke up with you or you broke up with that person and you're experiencing some heartbreak, please, by all means, you know, give me a ring. And you don't have to share your name. You know, just share with me what you're going through. You don't have to say who you are. Just say, you know, John Doe broke my heart. And I'm going through a horrible time, you know, and I don't like how I feel. And maybe we can get through that together, too. And maybe we can say a prayer for comfort, you know, on our off time. I can't do it on the air, but we can do it on our off time. And there are people out there who are with you, rooting for you, or will be rooting for you. If you have something, a trade or something of expertise that you want to share with us and you want us to make it a topic of discussion on one of our programs, by all means, we welcome you to join us as a guest and put on a presentation on our show featuring your trade or featuring your area of expertise, your specialty. If you're somebody who helps women in crisis, by all means, feel free to join us on our show. We would love that. We would like to hear how you can help others with your work, with what you do with your life. The important thing is that we're functional people who give some of what we've learned back to our community. We bring joy. We bring laughter. We use all of our tools in a multifaceted way, not just one way. One way can be boring. We all know that. We know that about many things. If you do something one way all the time, after a while it just gets very, very boring. So you have to come out up with a variety of ways to make something fun and exciting and keep a freshness in it. And that could be how you do your job. Rearrange your desk. Bring a new plant in. Put it on your desk. If you don't like your job, you don't like your boss, bring something beautiful. Put up some photos of your family, your children up on your desk. Bring in some plants. Do something fun at your desk while you're working, while you're toiling away. Do the same thing in any part of your life that's not fun. Try to bring excitement to your life by bringing variety into it. This applies to everything across the board. It even applies to how we go about our everyday lives. You know, it applies to all of that. We have to find a way to make our lives interesting and make the lives of others interesting. If you don't like your job, quit. Start a fun, more interesting job. If you don't like, you know, where you live, you know, pray and then consider moving. Find a new community to live in. If you want a house, find a way to get a second job and start saving for that house. Continue to make your life a happy place to be. Decorate your surroundings. Make your life beautiful. Fill it up with wonderful friends, good people that love you, sincere people, people that you know are going to be there. They've got your back. Keep life fun. Keep it beautiful. Bring fun to their lives. You know, bring joy to their lives. Bring humor to their lives. I spent a wonderful vacation in Daytona Beach with a friend of mine, Evelyn Rosario, this past summer, end of the summer. And we had such a blast. It was just, you know, four women and some other adults that were with us, you know, Evelyn's adult children. And we just had this amazing time together. That was the most fun that I had had with people outside of my immediate circle of friends whom I love and treasure, and they're fun also. But with people that I had just gotten to know, that has been the most fun I had had in about, three or four years. So, Evelyn, if you're out there, I love you, and I thank you for bringing so much joy to my life and for being a friend and for being you and for promoting the work that you're doing to help women in crisis. Evelyn is the CEO of InvincibleWomensSorority.org. Go look her up. If you're in crisis, if someone's hurting you, consider giving her a call. Again, go to www.iwsorority.org. That's www.iwsorority.org. And look up Evelyn. This woman is amazing. She serves on many different boards. She's a nationwide speaker. She speaks at these VIP conferences. She recently came back from a conference in Beverly Hills in California, and she's scheduled to do some more conferences. So go to her webpage and follow her her event schedule and find out where she's going to be speaking, and contact her if you need some help. Well, I think I'm sort of running out of material here, but I'm going to give a shout-out to my wonderful, loving friend, Thomas F. Pendergast, who was my boss when I worked for the Associated Press, whose daughter's probably listening to this program. Meredith, I love you, and I love David, and little Mary Karen and William, and thank you so much for taking care of me when I visited your family in Winsboro, Texas last year. And I hope that you guys had a great time living on Broadway for a few days and letting us show you New York City this past summer. I want to give a shout out to my friend Maggie Natal in Puerto Rico, Belle Alicia in Florida, my friend Noemi Montijo from my first grade. I know her since I was in first grade. I give a shout out to her too. And to all of the amazing teachers, my art teacher, Nelson Shanks, all of my fellow artists with whom I studied at the Art Students League in New York. Carolyn Berganzi is one of them. She gave an amazing exhibit recently. in the Lower East Side at this amazing temple, Odyssey. And please, you know, look her up. Do a web search of Caroline. It's Caroline Berganzi, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, Berganzi, B-E-R-G-O-N-Z as in zebra, I. And just take a look at the amazing work that this young woman does. It's just out of this world. It's mind-blowing. If I could have bought one of her pieces, I would have bought it on this, purchased it on the spot when I went to the exhibit. I served host at that last exhibit about a month ago. Please, by all means, you know, step outside of your zone. Go to art exhibits. Go to concerts. Enjoy the arts. Don't just stick to one thing. Become a multifaceted person. Make yourself interesting to people so that you will attract good people to your life. People who will grow because you have grown, because they know you. That's important. You can't stay in a 2x4 all of your life. You've got to grow. So we're going to be going off the air in about 2 minutes and 19 seconds. Thank you for tuning in and for sticking it out with me tonight. Even though I've been virtually unscripted, have fumbled with all of the knobs and all of the technical problems that I've been having. Thank you for understanding. I'm still an engineer in the works. I might be a better host than I am an engineer, but it was all totally unscripted. The full past hour has been completely unscripted. So I rambled on and on in tangents. But thank you for putting up with me, and I hope that, in a way, I made you laugh. And tomorrow when you get out, don't throw your just dried laundry on your bed. Do not take your Fruit of the Loom underwear home, actually to work, like I did one morning. You want to laugh at yourself, but you don't want the world laughing at you. So try. Don't do what I did. Don't walk out with that Fruit of the Loom underwear hooked onto the buckle of your pocketbook. Not very pretty sight. But yes, laugh at yourself. Laugh at the world. Have fun. Start a new day tomorrow saying you're going to laugh. You're going to be thankful. Lay a foundation, a spiritual foundation of thanksgiving to the Creator. And have a beautiful week. Have a beautiful month. And we're going to be ringing in the new year. So this is Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Pod Cafe, signing off. Thank you for tolerating and bearing this unscripted show with me tonight. Have a good one. Toodaloo. Good night.